looking up some scripture tonight a little bit as we go through this. Philippians chapter 2. We're just going to be looking at one verse, and that's verse 2. It says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for your love. I just pray now that you'll be with this message tonight. Father, I just pray that you'll help us understand what it's all about. Guide us and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of tonight's message is Beware. Just beware. That's it. Beware. In the scripture we just read, we see that Paul is telling the Philippian church that they're to be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord with one another. In our lives, we have things that we need to be aware of, don't we? You know, we are taught as youngsters to stay away from strangers. We are taught to keep our hands off of the hot stove. We are taught a lot of things when we're younger, and we are to take and heed the warning signs. We are to beware of the things that can hurt us. You know, we're to be aware of the things that can harm us. The word beware becomes a yield sign in our lives, something which when we see it, we need to approach it with caution. Now, Jesus told the disciples to beware of the religions of that day. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He wanted them to understand that there were going to be religious people who were not teaching the truth. I want to look at what the Bible says and what we should be aware of in the present days that we're living in. You know, there are some warning signs in the Bible that I believe each of us as Christians need to be aware of. And we need to look for those warning signs. And we need to be aware that there are people out there who want to hurt us. And as I was going and doing this message, I got to thinking of different things that go on in our everyday life, and then sometimes we become commonplace to a lot of things, and we aren't really aware, or we're not yielding to what we should, and be careful of what we have. The Apostle Paul says to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11:13, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Paul says, "I want you to be careful of false apostles." Now, we know that in the day and age that we live today, we don't have apostles because an apostle had to see the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be an apostle. So we don't have apostles today. However, there are people who have set themselves up as apostles in certain religions. And we need to be careful of them. Now, we need to beware of these false leaders or these false church leaders, and they're the ones who make decisions for the church or for a denomination. You know, they're the ones who the people follow. We need to be careful who we follow and what leadership that we put into our church. Satan himself can transfer himself into an angel of light. Who is the angel of light? The Lord Jesus. If he can transform himself into an angel of light or a false Christ, just think what he can do to ministers. We need to realize that Satan can cause himself to look like Christ. Just think what he can do to ministers or leaders of churches. You know, we need to be aware of the leaders and that we follow, and be careful of who we put in leadership in our churches. But then he goes on to say, beware of false prophets and false preachers. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. First book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every good tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I shall profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, here we see that we need to be aware of who stands behind the pulpit and preaches. There's an awful lot of people today who are going to slip into a church in sheep's clothing when they're really wolves. Someday, I may no longer be behind this pulpit. Someday, God may take me home. Someday, God forbid, I may be called elsewhere. God may not allow me to preach behind this pulpit any longer for some physical reason. Now, I have no idea what God has in store for me the next 5, 10, 15 years down the road. So that's why you, as a congregation, need to be aware who you allow to preach to you. You know, there. If there is no evidence of a godly testimony, he shouldn't stand behind this pulpit. You know, there are far too many who feel they are preachers when they're nothing more than glorified altar boys. And many times I would probably have an altar boy back here before I would them. You know, there are going to be those who feel they are something great for God, and one day we'll stand before him and say, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Didn't I stand up there and holler and shout and bang on the pulpit and scream and yell Didn't I preach in your name? Or, Lord, didn't I cast out many devils in your name? Or, Lord, didn't I do many wonderful works in your name? Didn't I have these great big healing services in your name? You know, these men feel that they are godly men, and in their minds they feel that they deserve to go to heaven. They've done great things, and they've healed in the name of the Lord. They may have had big healing services. They may have had great spiritual services where everyone that attended spoke in tongues or something else. They may have thousands walk the aisle, and they may have gone door knocking every week. However, they are doing it for show instead of for the honor and glory of God. I think of a lot of these TV evangelists who stand behind with their Hollywood sets behind them, and all the lights and all the flashing and all the big bang and the bands and everything else. And I look at them and I think to myself, what are they going to have when they get to glory? They've got all of it right now. You know, they're getting their fanfare now. People are there waving their arms back and forth and everything else, and they're getting their glory now. What are they going to have when they get to heaven when Jesus looks at them and says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I knew you not"? You know, they're all doing it for show instead of for the honor and glory of God. You know, they don't rule their homes well. They don't pay their debts. They owe. And if you go to the book of 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 13, it gives a qualification of a pastor and a deacon. These qualifications need to be read and read and read and read again by every church member, and you need to be familiar with what a preacher needs to be. You need to understand what the qualifications for an elder or a pastor is, or a bishop. That's another word for pastor. But we need to beware of false preachers. There are an awful lot of people today who have set themselves up as preachers. There's an awful lot of people today who are in churches who are no more preachers than what this table is. You need to understand, people think it's so such a glorified state to be a pastor. It's not. It's hard work. It's painstaking nights up. It's very difficult. And what you need to understand is that not everyone is called to be a preacher. But then he goes on to say that we need to beware of false teachers. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 2:1. Peter 2:1. It says, "But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Peter uses two words here for false preachers and false teachers. We need to beware of false teachers. You know, people who want to teach Sunday school and have a position in the church, but their lives don't testify that they're able to be teachers. You know, teachers, Sunday school teachers especially, can do a lot of damage to children, believe it or not, because if they're teaching falsehoods, that's what those children are going to think is right. You know, they want to, these false teachers want to teach our children the biblical truths from the Word of God, but they go all week and live their lives like the devil. You know, they don't spend any time in the Word of God. They spend all kinds of time in front of the TV after work, or they never open their Bible. They spend an awful lot of time on the internet, social media. They do not prepare a lesson and cannot teach the truths that God's want taught in Sunday school. False teachers should not be allowed to teach in our Sunday schools, Christian schools, or anywhere else godly principles need to be taught to our children. And that's the way it should be. You know, if my child was going to learn how to drive a car, I would want him to be taught, or her, by someone who knew how to drive a car. Amen? You know, if my child was going to be taught to read, I would want them to be taught by someone who knew how to read. If I was going to learn to speak Spanish, I would like to have someone teach me who knew how to speak Spanish. Amen? Then why do we not want God-fearing teachers teaching our children about the things of God? You know, if they don't study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, how do we expect them to teach the word of truth in our Sunday school or in our church or in our school? You know, we need to be aware of false apostles. We need to be aware of false preachers. We need to be aware of false teachers. Not only that, but we also need to be aware of false brethren. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. 2 Corinthians, turn your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 26. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says in verse 26, it says, "In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false," what? "In perils amongst false brethren." In Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul goes on to say, "And that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Paul is saying, you need to understand a few things. I went through a lot when I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things that irritated me the most, Paul said, is false brethren. Well, what's a false brethren? We need to be aware of those who claim to be brothers and sisters in Christ, but come in for a different purpose. Many of these come to get what they can. I call them sloughers, or There are people who are too lazy to do anything, but they want a handout. They feel the church owes them something, and they try to get everything they can from the church and the people of God. They'll cry to members of the church how bad they have it, and no one wants to help them. Oh, pastor won't help me, type of thing. And, you know, what we need to understand is there's an awful lot of these people who come to the church wanting a handout when they really are false brethren. Those are the ones also who come in and spy out the church. See if there's some way that they can enter in and disrupt what's going on in the church. There's an awful lot of people like that today who will take and try to enter a church, be here for a while, and then try to disrupt what's going on. They'll spread discord amongst the brethren and will prey on the weaker Christians, trying to lure them away from the church. These people's agenda is to see the church doors closed and the work ended in the local New Testament church. When they come in, they know all the right things to say. They'll act like other people in the church, but all they are is false brethren, having no desire to see the work of the Lord go forward. These are the ones who will never invite co-workers to church or relatives to church in fear that they're going to be labeled as hypocrites, living their lives one way all week long, and then for 1 hour a day they are holier than thou. They are false brethren. Those who come in, look the part of a Christian, talk the part of a Christian, but in reality, they cannot walk the talk. They can't walk the talk. Why? Because they're false brethren. You know, they will sit and they will nod their heads in agreement, and maybe once in a while they'll say, Amen. But they have an alternative motive in mind. You know, we need to be so careful that we know who these are. You know, me as a pastor, I'll be honest with you, I have a hard work. I have to watch out for the flock. Amen? I got to be the shepherd of the flock. I have to look out for everybody. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me running a food bank to screen out people who are false brethren. They'll come in and they'll say, well, I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. And, you know, you take and you watch them in the food bank and you're going, they're Christians? The way they talk, the way they act, you know. I mean, let's face it. A Christian's supposed to act a certain way, amen? And be so careful of these people that creep in so subtly. You know, all of us, you know, in here, we just praise the Lord when we have visitors, amen? We just praise the Lord when somebody gets saved and baptized. We praise the Lord when we have a new church member join the church. You know, but we have to be careful, so careful, of false brethren. False brethren can do more harm to a local New Testament church than anything else. The church becomes dependent on them, believe it or not. You know, they're the type of people that will come in and want to do everything in the church. They want to teach Sunday school. They want to take and work in the youth work. They want to drive buses. They want to work, do this, do that. They want to do everything in the church. And then all of a sudden, they get disgruntled about something and leave the church. But when they leave, guess what? They take a whole mess of people with them. Why? Because they've been digging their hooks into them all the time that they've been here. You know, there's an old saying goes like this. People who go into sin do not want to go alone. They want to take as many people with them as they can. They're the ones who want to be involved in everything in the church. Then all of a sudden, they get exposed for one thing or another, and they leave, and many times they will split a church right down the middle. And I've seen it happen. It's happened here in this church. We've had it happen over years where we've had people in the church who have been deacons of the church, Sunday school teachers. All of a sudden, they got disgruntled and left, and they took four or five families with them. Well, in a small church like that, that hurts a lot. We need to be so careful about false brethren. And I'll be honest with you, it's not this church only. Every church across America has this same problem. Satan, believe it or not, knows his days are numbered. He knows that the end's coming soon. And he's going to do everything he can to disrupt the church of Jesus Christ. He's going to get involved in everything he possibly can to bring discourse amongst the brethren. We need to beware of false apostles. We need to beware of false preachers. We need to be aware of false teachers. And we need to be aware of false brothers. And you know, if we would guard ourselves in these areas, I guarantee that the church would be a firm foundation. You know, each of us have the same responsibility as the pastor. The pastor is not the one who owns this church. All I am is working here for you. It's up to you to make sure when you vote someone in as a member of the church that you understand where they are spiritually and where they are socially, so that we do not get false brethren in the church. You know, it's easy for me to sit in my office sometimes and talk to people and find out, you know, their background and things like that. And a lot of times people will give you a really good story. Amen? And I mean, you know, it's like, wow, you know what? Hey, this guy was born and raised in a independent Baptist church, went to church all of his life. He made a profession of faith when he was 12 years old, got baptized. He's been living his life for the Lord. Knows the Bible. Man, this is the kind of person I would love to have in church. I could get him to teach a Sunday school class, get him to run a bus route, this and that and everything else. And then guess what? All of a sudden, the sheep's clothing comes off, and here's a raving wolf. We, as Christians, need to be so careful who we allow in the church. You know, being a member of Florence Baptist Church is not an obligation, it's a privilege. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that this church was built by God. Yeah, some blood, sweat, and tears by everybody else in here, but it was built by God. And we need to be so aware of who we allow to be part of our fellowship. And if we do that, I guarantee that we're going to always be saved. If you're wondering why I preach this message tonight, this thing over in Sutherland, Texas, has bothered me all week. It really has. I don't think there's ever been a mass shooting or any shooting in America that has bothered me as much as this did. And that the reason it did was this. That church was no bigger than what we are. That church had no more members than what we do. That church had 3 services a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just like we do. And yet, something bad happened. As they went into this guy's background, I'm not going to use his name, as they went into his background, he had been to that church many times. In fact, he had been there on the 31st of October to their harvest festival and was helping with the harvest festival. His mom and dad frequented the church very often, and I'm not for sure if his mom and dad were members of the church or not. But here's a man who crept in subtly, was part of the congregation, so to speak, and yet was a wolf in sheep's clothing. The pastor had told him a couple different times that he did not want him on the property. However, it didn't stop him from coming. You know, we need to be so vigilant and so careful, and we need to be aware of who comes and goes from this church. Because it could happen to anybody. It could happen to any church in the United States. A little church like the one in Southern Texas, 50 people. It could happen to a mega church just as easy. You know, it doesn't make any difference how vigilant we are. It doesn't matter how much we protect ourselves, try to protect ourselves. If we do not allow things like that to come in, then you know what? It's on us. It's on us. We need to beware. We need to beware of false apostles. We need to beware of false preachers. We need to be aware of false teachers. And we need to be aware of false brothers. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight.